Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to a New Day radio show where the dialogue is authentic, host is passionate, and we help you to become empowered, inspired, resilient, and transformed. Yes, our focus is to change our world by transforming one business and one life at a time. Now, here is your host, author, columnist, reinvention coach, entrepreneur, teacher, and speaker, Dr. Daphne Clark Hudson.
Well, happy Sunday, each and every one. Surprise, why you're hearing me on a Sunday morning. Well, as you know, we are known for having experts and guests from all around the world. And today is one of those days when I'm going to ask you to help me welcome a new friend from all the way from Finland. So yes, our honored guest, Iris Zars, is all the way from Finland. And I tell you, Iris is an amazing woman who is doing phenomenal work around the world. And I can't wait to hear all that she has to invest in you this morning. So please, pick the phone up, call somebody, tell them they must come here to hear about the psychology of eating. And also text, tweet, and get all your family members to listen, because this episode will be changing your lives.
Some friends you gain, some you lose. In the back of your mind, you're looking for love, but found the blues. That's why I've come from far away, to take away the blues. And I've come to say, I wanna be more than just somebody. I wanna be more than just a friend. I want to be more than someone special, 'cause special friends sometimes they won't understand.
Yes, I want to remind you that you can be part of the conversation by calling 646-915-8166. 646-915-8166. And we are only on this morning for 60 minutes. So please don't wait around. Call in whenever you have a question. The chat room is up and running, and we invite you to be part of the conversation as well. And before we go into the conversation, I want to remind you to connect with me on Twitter at Dynamic Daphne, Facebook.com, Dynamic Daphne, LinkedIn, and Pinterest, Daphne Clark Hudson, and on Instagram, Dynamic Daphne. And now, without any further delay, I want to bring on live my honored guest all the way from Finland. Good morning, Iris.
Good morning, Daphne. Thank you so much for having me on your show.
It's an honor. I know it's morning for me here, but what time is it for you? About what, 5 p.m. or
it's
something? What time is it?
Yeah, it's 5 p.m. here, and it's just starting to get dark, so yeah.
Ah, 5 p.m. Isn't it amazing? Here we are bubbly at 11:05 in the morning, and it's 5:05 for you. So I am just so honored to have you here. So let's go right in to Iris. We want to talk about you. Tell the listeners, Iris, as much as you want them to know about you. And then later on, we are going to get into the work that you are now doing.
Sure. Well, I've really been interested in health and healing since my late teens, early 20s. And so it's been a lifetime passion and interest for me, because what happened to me was when I was 2 years old, my parents emigrated to Australia from Finland. And we lived in the city there, and I went to school and I was quite happy. And then when I was 7 years old, my parents moved to the country. We moved to a small country town, and I developed this severe eczema on my hands, which I had for the next 10 years of my life. And I spent many years going to doctors and skin specialists, and I had radiation treatment and cortisone cream. And all this did was it kept the symptoms at bay. Like, as soon as I stopped using the medications, my symptoms would flare up again. And in the winter, I would have this terrible eczema that was cracked and weeping and was really, really, really difficult for me. And then when I was 17 years old, I moved back to the city, and my eczema disappeared overnight. So I found this to be quite remarkable, really. And then a couple of years later, it came back again when I had stressful life circumstances. And that was the first time that I went to visit a naturopath. And I went, a friend of ours was studying naturopathy, so I went to a student college there. And it was the first time that anybody had asked me really detailed questions about my life. And during this consultation, which I think went for about an hour and a half, I had an aha moment where I realized that I was responsible in part for my own state of health, and that I could actually take control of my own health, because nobody in the 10 years that I had suffered from this eczema had ever asked me about my life. And I came to realize that that the reason that I had this eczema was because of stress, partly because of stress, because we had moved from the city where I was happy. We moved to a very small country town, and I was bullied at school, and I was suddenly aware of my parents being migrants. And I developed this shame around my family, because we weren't the same as everybody else. And I realized that this had manifested. It was also had dietary components, but I think the major thing was stress. So that really set me off on a path of exploring alternate healings. You know, I went to homeopaths, and I went to Reiki practitioners and massage therapists, and I became a massage therapist myself, studied aromatherapy, and I practiced as an aromatherapist for 16 years. And 8 of these years I worked in health retreats. So I massaged thousands and thousands of women, and I felt really privileged to hear their stories about their lives. And people told me that I had healing hands, and so I seemed to have some sort of, you know, a natural ability in this area. But I've always been fascinated by health and healing, and how our life circumstances and how the way we respond to those affect our health.
Amazing, amazing, amazing story. Because, you know, I'm so in affirmation with you that our lifestyle has a lot to do with our health. Because a lot of the illnesses that we experience in life are oftentimes triggered by our our thoughts and the energy and all that kind of food, and you know, to top it off with the food we eat. And oftentimes when you have that kind of conversation with people, they say, oh, no, there's nothing that can go that way. And they keep going, and I respect doctors. And so what I'm going to say now is not to disrespect doctors in any way. But people need to take control of their lives, because our bodies are built to heal itself. And however, in order for it to operate in peak performance, we have to treat it right. And this is why when I learn about the work that you do, and I had a consultation with you, I figure I need to have her on so she can invest in my listeners. So I thank you so much for sharing your experience and your journey with us. So, with that stage, with the stage being set, Iris, I love to do that, because there are often times when you hear a conversation and people tend to say, oh, they're just textbook worthy. But you're not. You have lived a large number of your life with an adversity of eczema, and you experience what was triggering it. You paid attention to what the cause was, and you study. And now, how many years you are eczema free?
Oh, it's probably been about 25 years, I think.
25 years.
Yeah, I went to a homeopath in the end, and I went on a strict diet for about 18 months, no sugar, no processed foods, no dairy, and I took homeopathic remedies, and during that time, I got rid of it, and I've never had it back again, you know, just has never come back again. So it was quite amazing, the power of, you know, deciding to do something about it yourself and being guided to the right people, I guess, too.
Yeah, because the information is there. It's available to us. So people have to learn to go out there, gather the information, and implement whatever it is that it is telling you to do. So we have set the stage. So now people can be relaxed, and they can be comfortable listening to you and know that you have walked the walk, you have traveled the journey, and now they can listen to you, that they can utilize some of what you are going to share with them, if not all of what, because what you are going to be sharing has to do with a lifestyle, and all we have to do is to be willing to adjust our present lifestyle.
Yeah, may I just say, Daphne, I also spent 15 years going to a meditation center. So I think that really helped a lot, because no matter what circumstances were happening in my life, I was able to deal with them, you know, in a way that it didn't cause me any illness or grief. I spent 15 years going to meditate, and I think that was a really wonderful help with the stress, with any stress that came up. So, yeah.
You know, I like how you brought that in, because I tell individuals all the time, when you talk, when you speak about balance and health, it is in totality. It is mind, spirit, and body. So people will go around for years dieting, everything that they see on late night TV, they buy it and hoping that by the time the shipment arrives, they are going to be losing half of their body weight. And it doesn't go like that. You have to see things in totality. It is complete. So I like how you brought in about the aspect of meditation and what it did for you. So now I want to remind people to call in 646-915-8166, 646-915-8166. And my honored guest is Iris Czar from Finland. So yes, let's talk about the diet. You started off not studying the psychology of food, but because of the impact it had on your life, you went in search of more knowledge and information, right?
I did, and also I was my weight yo-yoed as well over the years, and I tried every kind of diet I could think of, you know. For many years, I joined Weight Watchers. I would do the latest fad diet and always with the same results. I would lose some weight and then, you know, when I couldn't cope with depriving myself any longer, the weight would all come back again. So What happened for me was I discovered John Gabriel through a friend. John Gabriel wrote a book called The Gabriel Method about his own weight loss journey, where he lost over 100 kilos. And he's a man from New York, but he lives in Australia now, and he has a membership site where he helps thousands of people to lose weight and learn how to eat healthy. And so I went to one of his four-day retreats he does once a year in Kiama, which is on the south coast of New South Wales in Australia. And I went there for a four-day retreat with him, and he was going to have a coaching program to help people with his Gabriel method. And I was really interested in doing this. So I got in touch with him, or actually spoke to him there at the retreat, and asked him when the coaching would be happening. But actually, it didn't end up happening at all. But what I learnt during the time there was that I needed to address the emotional issues that were keeping me holding the weight on, that were not allowing me to lose this weight, the extra weight that I was carrying around. So I had to deal with certain emotional issues from a time of trauma that I'd had in my life. And so I had this cellular release therapy, which was going right to the cells of the body to release the trauma so that it wouldn't be going around in my head anymore. And so I found this was very, very helpful. And it was the one thing that I'd been resisting doing. You know, I read his book, The Gabriel Method, and he said that before you can have any kind of sustainable weight loss, if you have emotional problems or emotional issues, you need to address those first. And I thought I could do everything else and just leave the emotional issue aside. But it wasn't the case, you know. So I had to deal with that. And then because I had joined his membership site, I would receive emails from him. And I received an email from him about Mark David's eating psychology coach certification, which was really fascinating. So I had a look at Mark David's three introductory videos, and it totally resonated with me. It was about everything I'd been interested in since I was, you know, in my early 20s, and I knew that I had to do this coaching certification. So yeah,
the you went and you did the certification, and what you learned is why I went through the training.
Oh, sorry, Daphne, you just broke up for that question. Can you ask me that again?
Through the training, what did you learn about yourself during that training?
Oh, yeah, I learned a lot about myself during that training. One of the things that I did during that training was that I learned to love myself and my body as it is now. I had been weighing myself every day for years, you know, and I'd been giving away my own power to a number on a scale. So if my weight had gone up, I would be very unhappy with myself. I'd be judging myself. I'd be really harsh with myself. And so I gave away the scale. I decided to not use the scale anymore. And I started doing some mirror work with myself and learning to love the body that I have now, because it's gotten me through this life this far, you know. I've given birth to one child. you know, my body served me really well. So I learnt that I needed to be kind and compassionate with myself, and I needed to learn how to relax. Because if we're in a stress response, then we're not digesting our food properly. Our cortisol and insulin levels are raised, and our digestive system doesn't work properly because we go into a fight or flight response. And when we're in that primitive fight or flight response, our digestion shuts down. So I learned how to relax, but I also learned how to make decisions that were healthy and good for me. I went back to Australia for 4 months last year for the summer because I needed to do that for my own health and well-being. And it was a little bit difficult because I had to leave my mother behind for so long. But because I made the decision to do something that was really beneficial for me and for my own soul and well-being, I lost 7 kilos effortlessly because I was happy and I was relaxed. So I really, and I learned, and apart from that, I learned a lot of tools and techniques that I can use to help other people. So, yeah, it was wonderful. And I'm sure I'll keep learning, you know. I think it's an ongoing thing. It's not something that you learn and then suddenly the next day everything's fine. It's an ongoing practice, you know, like it's a practice and an awareness.
Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. So now, for the and we have the title of the show, Psychology of Eating. And would you explain what exactly that means, Iris?
Yeah, the psychology of eating means that the person who is doing the eating is as important as what's being eaten. So, And the psychology of eating takes the whole person into account. So we don't just look at a person and what they eat and whether they exercise or not, but we look at the whole person's life, you know. Like, people hold on to weight for all different kinds of reasons, and people look for comfort in food for all different reasons, you know. They may be unhappy in their job. They may be stuck in a dead-end job and they don't know how to get out. They may have relationship problems, or perhaps they don't have a spiritual life at all. They may not be using their gifts. They may not be using their creative gifts to help the world. You know, there's so many. They may have suffered trauma, childhood trauma, you know, sexual abuse, physical abuse. Something like this is often propels people to eat and look for comfort in food, because weight, extra weight around the body is like a protective mechanism. It's there to protect you from the world. And eating psychology looks at the whole psychology of eating and the psychology of the person. So really, food and nutrition is like a doorway into the larger life of a person, because in order to, I guess, kind of like the purpose of having a really good diet and energy and vitality is so that you can be the best version of yourself and you can give your gifts then to the rest of the world and feel full in your own life, yeah.
I wanted to point out that when Iris referred to diet, she's not thinking of that as in the sense of reducing, but diet in the sense of balancing your life. So I want you to see diet as a lifestyle, as a wholeness, as a wellness, not specifically I'm dieting to lose weight. But
I
am selective.
I am selective.
Go ahead, Iris.
No, I just wanted to say that that's right. I definitely didn't mean the word diet in that sense, you know, because diets don't work, because diets are about putting you in starvation mode and deprivation, and, if, you know, they just don't work. Yeah, sorry to interrupt.
Yeah, and it's a mind. It's a paradigm shift in the thinking, because I know when people hear the word diet, because you say to somebody, what does your diet consist of, right? And they will reply to you, I am not on a diet. But indeed, if when you look at it from an educational point of view, a wellness point of view, a balanced point of view, we are all on a diet, and what that means is what do we choose to eat each day? What do we select for our families to eat each day? So it has to do with re-education and redefining how we use words and how we use food.
Absolutely. You know? And food is also meant to be nourishing, like nourishing for the soul. Yeah.
Exactly. You know, I grew up on a farm in Jamaica. My parents were farmers. And since I moved to the United States, I understand how blessed I was as a child growing up. Because everything you eat, you harvest. Is either it is harvest from your farm or from somebody else's farm. And yes, you would go to the farmer's market and you see the fresh produce there. Versus coming here and learning that there are many adults in this world who does not know what an orange tree looks like. They have never seen a banana tree. And the list goes on and on because they only are accustomed to be selecting these foods from their grocery aisle.
That's right. So you had a real connection to the earth and to the soil and to where the food comes from. Yeah.
Yes. And it is such a blessing. It is such a blessing, and I think that is an experience that every individual needs to have, if it's even one or twice in their lifetime, to be able to walk outside, pick a fruit from the tree, and eat it right away. You're going to find out it tastes so different.
Absolutely. I grew up on a farm as well with my parents when we moved to this small town, and we had our own fruit trees, and my mother grew vegetables every year. We had chickens, we had eggs, so we had a lot of fresh fruit and fresh produce, and I'll never forget the peaches that we used to get from the fruit trees were the best that I've ever tasted in my life. Like, I've never across anything as good, you know, like straight from the tree and vegetables straight from the ground. Yeah.
Yeah. And unless people can listen to what we're saying, however, unless they have that experience for themselves, they will not understand. All right, so we have 31 and a half minutes remaining. I want to remind the people in the chat room, go ahead, write your questions in the box below, or you're welcome to call in 646-915-8166 and ask your question of Iris. So we want to talk about your experience working as a psychology of eating coach. What kind of clients do come to you looking to adjust their lifestyle?
All kinds of clients, really, you know, people that have eating challenges, people that overeat, that have emotional eating concerns, people that have binge eating concerns, people that want to lose weight, people who have mood and fatigue issues, and also people who have body image issues, you know, people who hate their bodies, who don't love the way that they look, who, you know, people who are obsessed with dieting, people who can't stop dieting, anybody that has any kind of an eating challenge that is affecting their life in a negative way, that is not freeing up their energy to live the life that they want to live.
So, Iris, thousands and thousands and thousands of people all across the world will be listening to this segment. Now, people are going to be listening and they're going to be pondering, is this me? Does this have to do with me? If you would create, if you would create a checklist for the listeners to really confirm that, yes, this is me. I need to take this first step to reach out to get some help. Can you please create a checklist of questions for them to ask themselves and to build the courage up to pick up the phone to call you or to send you an email to help them through this issue? What questions do they need to ask themselves?
Yeah, that's a great question. Well, I guess questions like, is my concern with my weight stopping me from living the life that I want? Am I obsessed with losing weight? Am I uncomfortable in my own skin? Am I a fast eater? Do I distract myself while I'm eating? Do I wish I had more energy? Do I wish that I felt comfortable in my own skin? Do I need somebody to be accountable to? Do I need to be more compassionate towards myself? These are just some of the questions.
I think those questions should give each and every listener a great jump start, because you know, people are always looking around and thinking, that's not for me and that does not apply for me. But those are the everyday questions that we are all faced with. However, we go through a struggle of answering these questions. So in order to improve our psychology with food, and to experience a wellness, we need to first own our truth, accept and embrace our truth in order to go to the next step. Because it doesn't matter who your coach is or who your nutritionist is, until you decide, I own this aspect of who I am. I own it. Until you can make the decision to own it, nothing is going to happen in your life.
That's so true, Daphne. And that's because I also do this thing called Soul Collage, which is part of the coaching that I do. And Soul Collage is a way of working with images and collage, and it's going deep within yourself, and it's owning parts of yourself through image that you maybe sometimes don't have words for. It's an intuitive process, and I've found that that's really true. You know, you need to accept yourself as you are, and you need to own the shadow as well as the light, because it's what makes us the rich and complicated people that we are. You know, like, we have so many different aspects to ourselves, and
You touched on Soul Collage, and I was going to go there afterwards, but since that you touch on it, what is the difference, Iris, between a Soul Collage and a vision board?
Yeah, that's a great question. A vision board is what you envision and what you want to bring into your life in the future. I've made several vision boards, and so vision boards are a kind of a conscious way of manifesting what you want to happen in the future. So you collect images of things that you want in your life, and you have that vision board somewhere where you can see it every day, so that you're focusing on those things that you want to bring into your life. Soul Collage, on the other hand, is an intuitive process where you make a Soul Collage card. Soul Collage cards are usually about 5 inches by 8 inches, so they're not very big. And you choose the images from magazines, from postcards, photographs, your own artwork, and it's almost as though you allow the images to choose you, and you create a collage from them. And you don't need to know why you're attracted to particular images. You don't even need to understand what the card means. to begin with. And then what you do is you read from the card as if you are the card. So you create the card and then you speak from the card and you say, I am the one who, and you just allow whatever comes to come up. So soul collage cards are really parts of yourself. They're parts of your subconscious, and they're parts that could maybe be ruling you, but you're not aware of it. Soul collage cards are also created for people that have influenced us in our lives, and they're also created for power animals, you know, for the chakras, for the seven chakras in the body, you know, symbolic animals that can come to help you and guide you in your life. And soul collage cards also depict the archetypes in life, like sorrow, joy, death, you know, grief, loneliness, all kinds of things like this. And soul collage cards are very powerful use of image. They can express things that you may find difficult to put into words. As soul collage cards are used with many different kinds of groups of people: Vietnam veterans, people in prison, people in women's refuges, church groups, and just, you know, women's groups. And they're especially good for people that have suffered some kind of trauma and that may not be able to verbalise it, but through an image, this can really be a great healing tool. So it's very good for owning parts of yourself that, you know, are lost or that may have been lost.
Les, I want you to explain of individual that you just spoke about, the prison inmates, the church groups. I want you to spend a few minutes just expanding on how that particular demographic utilize the soul collage to enhance their lives.
Yeah, because I think people that, let's say take Vietnam vets, for instance. A lot of Vietnam veterans were traumatized by the Vietnam War and, you know, have mental illness and isolate themselves from society and have a lot of problems living in the normal day-to-day world. The soul collage through image, through the power of image, people can find out how to express those parts of themselves that have been lost, and they can express the trauma that they've been through. They can put into an image and on a card, and they can use those cards to then read from and speak about themselves through the power of the image, because soul collage is always done in a really supportive environment, and whatever is shared within a soul collage group stays in that group. So people can allow themselves to be vulnerable and to express what's in their heart and what's going on in their soul and psyche without fear of being ridiculed or, you know, fear of
humiliation.
I guess it's like, yeah, exactly. And it's like a channel to allow that person to open themselves up to what is inside them anyway. So it's a healing kind of thing, yeah.
So the construction then of a soul collage takes place in a group which could, for want of a better word, could be considered as a support group then, huh?
Absolutely, it's a support group, definitely. Yeah, and most definitely a support group. I had a couple of women came here a few weeks ago for a soul collage day. One is my pastel teacher, and she brought another friend, and they were going to come for a couple of hours, and they ended up staying for about 9 hours because it was such
an enriching day. And how many soul collage cards did they create during that time?
One person made only one card, and the other person made four cards. And I think I made two cards, you know. So it just depends on the person. Some people make cards very quickly. For instance, when I first came across Soul Collage, I was so fascinated by it because I'm a creative person and an artist as well. I stayed up till 3 o'clock in the morning, three nights in a row, and I made 45 cards.
Wow.
There were so many parts of me that were wanting to be expressed.
Wonderful, 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 wonderful. So it's, as I listen to you, because I have never done a soul collage, but for those who are listening, if you look through the flow of, I want to welcome guest 404 to the show. We have 19 minutes remaining. So if you have a question about the psychology of eating, you can either call in 646-915-8166 and pose your question directly to Iris. If not, you can write your question in the box below, and I will read it for Iris to give you the answer. Okay. Ah, I missed my thought. What was I about to say? All right. I'm sorry?
I think you were going to say something about soul collage, I think. I'm not sure.
Okay. Yeah, I was saying, thank you, Iris. I have never personally worked with a soul collage, but I've worked with vision board. But I see this as something that I am going to, I'm going to have to learn about doing. It would be amazing, Iris, because from I learn about it, I said, oh, that would be amazing to have Iris to do a retreat where people could develop their soul collage. And that's something for us to discuss for the future, because I think that would be an amazing, amazing gift for women, especially. Because there's so much healing that women want. And anything that will help us facilitate the process of healing in whatever area, we should do that.
Absolutely. Yeah. And it's such a simple thing to do. I mean, you don't need any artistic skills. All you need is a pair of scissors, some glue, and some images from magazines. Like, it's
and
very,
the willingness.
Very...
And as I listen to you, the willingness to focus and be still. Because these images, I don't think will choose you during turmoil and anxiety.
No, that's true. That's true. It's really important to focus on what it is that you're doing and to, you know, as best as you can to try to be in a quiet space, because, you know, if you're just busy gossiping or chatting, it kind of takes away from the specialness or the sacredness of doing the soul collage. So it's often good to meditate beforehand. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I can relate to that, Iris, because I've done retreats, and there are times I do a 3-day retreat, and we'll start with 30 minutes of quiet time. And then by the end of the 3 days, we are up to 2 hours or an hour and a half of quiet time. And some people are losing their minds because they are not accustomed to be quiet and be still. And those who are following through to do the activity to help themselves, they would go around disturbing those people. And those who follow through end up writing skits for play. They wrote poems and songs and everything. So a stillness and quietness is powerful.
Yeah, absolutely. Very powerful. I remember when I used to attend this meditation center, sometimes we would have these weekend meditation retreats that were done all in silence, like complete silence where no one spoke, not even during the tea breaks. And it was quite amazing, like how you could gauge where everyone was at just by looking at them. But by being in that powerful silence, you could you could really see so much more of what was going on around you than you could if your mind was busy chattering and distracting yourself. Yeah, it is. Silence is a very powerful thing, but also very difficult for many people because they're not used to it. We're so used to distracting ourselves with, you know, the computer and the iPhone and the television and everything. So, you know, yeah.
Yes, 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 yes. Well, Iris, I tell you, they say time flies when we're having fun. We only have 14 minutes remaining. Did you have any questions in your heart that I have not asked?
Any questions?
Or any information you wanted to give that you did not get the opportunity to do so. Now is the time to do that.
Yeah, look, I think the psychology of eating is for all people who are eaters. So that's basically everybody. And the psychology of eating really deals with the whole person. So we look at these eating challenges that people may have as symptoms. So they're not the problem per se. So we don't try to come up with a strategy to stop your binge eating or to help you lose the weight, but rather we dive deep into your life. So I would ask a lot of questions in a session, like very, very many questions, to find out what's going on in that person's life. And so we look for the cause, like we dive deep to find the cause of the eating challenge. And you find out that when you find out what the cause is and you deal with that, those eating challenges fall away naturally. But as well, you know, you need to put in effort to be aware and be conscious so that you can really slow down to enjoy and nurture yourself in your relationship with food and body. It's an ongoing practice. It's something that doesn't happen overnight, but it's a practice. It's like forming a new habit. So really what we're aiming to do is go to the cause of the problem and eliminate it for good.
You know, it's amazing, just a simple modification, because you asked me when I did that session with you today, and you asked me, I was not even aware the importance when you said to me, am I a fast eater or a slow eater? And I've always been a slow eater, not even truly understanding the impact it has on my life. But you asked me another thing, am I always doing something else while I am eating? And sometimes I would be. I would either be talking on the phone and eating, checking email or eating, or doing something and eating. And I realized that since you said that to me, I'm no longer sitting in front of the computer while I eat, and I'm not doing everything. And it's a whole different relationship with my food.
Absolutely.
I'm eating the same food, but I have a whole different relationship with it.
That's right, because if you're not actually present and conscious when you're eating, then your brain thinks that you haven't actually eaten, because the brain is wanting the aroma of the food, the texture of the food, the taste, the look of the food, you know, the atmosphere. Are you eating in a relaxed and calm and beautiful atmosphere? Do you have good company at the table? All of these things are really important, and they nourish us, you know. Like, it's not just, the food is not just a bunch of vitamins and chemicals that, you know, fuels your body like a machine. It's also the awareness that you bring to the table when you eat. So who you bring to the table is as important as what you eat. So that's wonderful that you have experienced that from just a single session.
Yes. Iris, we only have approximately 11 minutes remaining. I want to give you an opportunity to do your summary, and I also want you to tell people how they can get in touch with you. And I don't know whether you have a special offer for the people who are listening on here. So now is your opportunity to do that.
Okay, yeah, thank you, Daphne. Well, I would just like to say again that eating psychology really deals with the whole person. So we look at all of your life, all aspects of your life, to see where it is that these eating challenges are actually coming from, what the cause is, and then we go to heal that part of your life, because the idea is to be eating the highest quality food that you can, natural food from the earth in its whole state, so that you can have the vitality that you desire to live the life that you want to live, so that you can give your gifts back to the world as well. And this is done through a process of coaching and a process of homework exercises that you get to do, and also through a creativity, if that is something that you're interested in. You know, I like to combine the coaching with the soul collage and, you know, different kinds of art invitations that can help you to express yourself in a way that is meaningful to you. And so if you would like to have an initial conversation with me, I wanted to offer a free private session with me, one per week until the end of the year. So I think there are 10 weeks left until the end of the year. And so all you need to do is go to my website, which is irisstarr.com. It's irisztarr.com. And just about every page on my website has a form that you can fill out to get in touch with me. But in particular, the free intro, if you go to the free intro call on the menu of the homepage of my website, there is a more detailed form there that you can fill out, and you can tell me some of what your eating challenges and concerns are. And I will send you an email within 24 hours with an appointment scheduler. So you can choose an hour that suits you. It's an hour-long session, and we can see what is at the root cause of your eating challenges. And then you can see if it's a good fit, and if you would like to work with me further. But that's a free session I'm offering each week until the end of the year.
All right. So any thoughts, anything else you would like to say, Iris?
Oh, I'd just like to thank you, Daphne. It's been a pleasure speaking to you. And I love the idea of having a soul collage retreat. Maybe we could do it in Jamaica.
Yeah, I would love that. Let's talk about it. You
yeah,
know, we talk about it off air. That would be amazing.
It would be amazing. And thank
it would
you
be
so
amazing,
much for...
you know, let us talk about it sooner rather than later, because before you know it, it's going to be 2015 coming to the end. So let's talk about it.
Yeah, yeah. And thank you so much for everything you do, Daphne, and for your radio show.
You.
And thank you for having me on. Yeah, it was a pleasure.
Thank you so very much, Iris, and continue doing the good work that you do, my sister. I'll be talking with you soon.
Beautiful. Thank you, Daphne.
Oh, you're very welcome. And just like Iris says, you know, reach out. Go to her website, Iris, ZATTATAR. And it's like star, but it's just that it's spelled with a Z. So go there and reach out. I did the same thing, got the insight, because you know I don't bring anyone on this show unless I test out what they are doing and know that they are good for what they are doing. All right? So I only bring the best on the show here. I have a promotion that I'm doing, and I want you to text this number, 203-774-3733. Text the word empower, E-M-P-O-W-E-R. Text that word to 203-774-3733. Text the word empower, E-M-P-O-W-E-R, and you will get more information about the coaching package that I am offering. So again, you know, it felt good being on here on a Sunday morning. And keep tuned, keep your ears open for our Soul Collage Retreat. And Iris chose the location, what she said. She said Jamaica, and I'm all for that. Can you imagine no better place to have a soul collage and a silence retreat than on the island? We won't keep you silent for the whole time you're there. We'll just keep you silent for 3 days, and then we are going to let you loose to have some island fun. But I love it. I love it. I love it. And so keep tuned. Keep your ears open, because that's going to be happening in 2015. Listen. Have the best Sunday ever. It's a gorgeous fall day. And for those of you out here in Connecticut, be sure to go out and enjoy whatever foliage is left on the trees. It's amazing to see the amount of leaves on the ground now, because we had strong winds and rain for the past few days. And all the beautiful foliage is now on the ground. But there's still some leave over. So go out, enjoy, take a couple of pictures, and send it. And listen, today's the 26th, and you know October is Breast Cancer Month. So if you have not yet done your mammogram, ladies, please go out and make it happen. And if you have to go do it in November, go do it. I don't care when you do it. I just want to make sure you do it. So call a sister, friend up, a neighbor, and remind them that they need to get tested. Listen, I love each and every one of you. I'm dedicated and devoted to help transform, inspire, and educate you. And don't forget to text 203-774-3733. Text the word EMPOWER, and you'll get all the information pertaining to the new coaching offer that I'm making. Enjoy the Sunday. Enjoy your friends. And make sure you tell somebody today, I love you.
What's the plight that you've called me to? The thing I'm set aside to do. I trust you, Lord, to see me through. Will you let me look in your heart?
Showing me
and directing me.
destiny. I dare you to declare it. Tell the Lord thank you for showing me. Hallelujah. And directing me. Speak to it. My destiny. Come on, you declare it to the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I speak purpose tonight. Hallelujah. You will open that business and direct it. Hallelujah. To my destiny. I know what I'm here for. Tell the Lord, thank you. Hallelujah. For every trial that came with this name. Hallelujah. For every struggle that came with this name. I'm mighty grateful. I said I'm mighty grateful. See the breaking of day. It's destiny. That I know what I know what I know what I'm here for. Yeah. Oh, for showing me to the Lord tonight and directing me. Hallelujah. To my destiny. He's a strong God. You may not be able to touch it right now. Begin to thank Him. Begin to praise Him. Begin to thank Him. Begin to praise Him. Begin to thank Him. Begin to praise Him. Hallelujah. Can you see it? Can you feel it? Everybody, you're going into a new dimension tonight. You'll never ever see it again the same way. You'll never ever touch it again the same way. You've been called with a great call. It's a monumental call. You've been called to change nations and generations. Come on and praise your God.